This sound was recorded on August the 18th, 1962. Sitter wrote three million letters then.
I now that you wait the great anticipation and interest to my coming. And I am only too aware of how eagerly you desire me to turn back the clock of time, so that you might, for a moment, glimpse some picture of the past.
Yes, please.
And because of this desire on your part, I am always anxious to do this for you.
Thank you.
I've tried to outline roughly for your benefit some aspects of your life in Rome and in other places at the time Caesar. I've told you of your links with the Medes. I've told you how it came about your first interest in the things of the sight, of your interest in the things of the spirit, and how dangerous it was, particularly in the capital, to do this kind of thing. I've also told you how you yourself became an instrument.
Yes.
That there was a fear in your family, with your brother in particular, that this would have an effect upon you, and therefore not be wise for you to continue. It was most disappointing, and yet at the same time we understood the reasons why you withdrew from the association with Pharos. In the days in which I speak, there was great fear among the peoples of the gods and of the wrath of the gods, and much was done to appease them. Because of the times in which we speak, there was much paganism, particularly in Rome itself, but in Pompeii, this city which was so to be destroyed, there was a freedom which enabled peoples of all nations, all religions, to gather together. And shortly before the fall of Pompeii, the Betty brothers had left, and they were therefore able to avoid the death and the destruction, although they lost a major part of their fortune. And indeed, if it were not for you and your family, things would have gone hard with them. For as you know, Pompeii was buried after 3 days of incessant outpourings of Vesuvius, and in consequence their home was destroyed and utterly buried, and the better part of their fortune with it. And the Vedis were able to continue in some measure of comfort through the generosity and the friendship of your family. Pharos had previously left for Rome, so he escaped also the destruction in Vesuvius' eruption. But he was taken into custody in Rome and was slaughtered in the arena, as indeed were many others. He was, unfortunately, a man without tact, in spite of his knowledge and his wisdom. He was, in many senses, a tactless man, and was quickly given to temper. This may strike one, perhaps, as strange, when one considers that he was a man of great wisdom and great foresight, that he had communication and was very much in touch, as you would say, with the power of the Spirit, who constantly warned him and advised him. But you know, like all instruments, they have often a contrary nature. For though they are given to the power of the Spirit, and oftentimes endeavor to follow it out, sometimes they have the feeling that they are too much under the influence and they must assert their own personality. It's as if there is a battle often waging, and sometimes in consequence they say and do unwise and foolish things. Also, Pharos was a man who, in spite of his knowledge, was foolish in certain respects to the ways of the world. Often those who were drawn often into the mind, the spirit, lose touch with material things as such. And often they say things, especially in unguarded moments, which create very difficult situations. Pharos himself was so anxious that all should believe and be converted that he was mistakenly arrested. At first they thought he was a Christian. Then they realized that he was not a Christian, but he was, as they thought, a sorcerer and a wizard. And there was great fear in Rome of these peoples. And in consequence, as I've said, he was put to death. But he came again to earth in the time of Cesare Borgia, as indeed did you and the instrument and other members of the household in which you now dwell.
Who were the other ones on the
island? He whom you call Bramwell.
Yes.
She whom you call Gwendolyn.
Yes. That's it.
And he whom you call Albert.
He too, yes.
It was a time of great strife, where there were many factions between families. Indeed, the whole country was split up into many different counties, as you would say, or parts. Under Imperial Rome, in the time of the Emperor, Rome was the capital, but it was the capital of the great nation. It was a great empire, and Rome, though the capital, the whole of the empire was, you might say, solid behind Rome. But after the fall of the Roman Empire, the country became split up. Various houses began to take over vast areas, vast parts of the country, and there were fractions and frictions between all the varying houses and groups of peoples who assess who had accumulated great power. And you and the instruments, and those that I've mentioned and others, were all linked together in these fugues. You were very much in love with he whom you now call Chopin.
Yes.
He in those times was the son of a noble house and a man of great position. And at that time, his name was Alfredo.
I beg your pardon. What was his name, please?
Alfredo.
Alfredo, I see. Thank you.
And you were Beatrice.
Beatrice, thank you.
You were most concerned one with the other. And you became married, and you lived together for some years. But owing to these feudal wars, which constantly were breaking out, he lost his life, and you were left a widow with one child. This child church, who religiously and devotedly helped the poor, because she felt it was part, an essential part of your Christianity. You did not necessarily always see eye to eye with the church, but because you had been brought up and educated in it and with it, you accepted, and yet within yourself your reason began to question. And when you saw your son taking similar steps in the direction of religion, searching for truth, you realize that perhaps in him there could come some fulfillment of your inner wishes to see changes brought about. And he became a remarkable man. And actually he had many visitations and many spiritual experiences. And he was responsible for many others being brought nearer to God. He was able to show them the path. He was a man who quite willingly and eagerly gave himself entirely and absolutely to doing God's will. He was a man who lived to be a great age, especially for his time. And of course, you yourself had already entered the realm of spirit by the time he was 40. But from this side of life, you watched over him and endeavored to help and to guide and uplift him. And he was conscious of your presence. He was conscious of your nearness. And he himself had the experience of seeing you on the various occasions in Florence, where you were for quite a long time. There still remains remnants of your life, material life. There are portraits still in existence, though they would not be considered perhaps good likenesses. There are portraits of your husband and yourself in the gallery of the Pitting. I do not suppose you'll ever go there in the body to see these pictures, but it matters not. For as I've told you, we are concerned not alone with this present moment, or indeed the past, important though those times are. We are concerned with that which is to come. When you have finished the work that you've been set to do, when you have, as it were, completed the tasks, then when you come here, you will have severed connections with earth, apart possibly from visits from time to time, but not to return in the body. For you will be reunited with many of these peoples who have already come before you, peoples that have been near and dear to you, those who have been so much part of your various lives. You will see then how clearly is the pattern which has been woven, where every thread is a thread which has been important to the construction of the tapestry of life. You will see how you have weaved your own particular part, and others have weaved theirs, and how it blends to form a picture of great beauty. That is why it is so important to realize that the darkest spots of life, the more difficult times, the depressing and unhappy times, have had their benefit and their purpose, and they've helped and enabled you to expand and to grow and to become more wise, more spiritually conscious, and more able in consequence to serve and to help others, not only while you are in the body, for you have often helped many souls when they were here, for there have been intervals sometimes of time, such as perhaps 100 or 200 years, before you have returned, and this applies not alone to you but to others. The sun of which I speak in this incarnation,
yes,
he is here on this side of life.
Oh yes.
But you would not know him if he were to come and speak to you. But you would have an inner realization of something that is powerful and strong. And if you could see his face while you are yet in the earthly body, you would not recognize him. For you see, the memory is dimmed and dulled through time, and the body of earth cannot conceive and perceive the eye these things of so long ago. But the inner consciousness, the soul, responds, and you shall see many souls when you return to this place of spirit that you have known and loved, and you will see them as you remember them, and you will remember again, and you will see how it has been possible for them to assist and to help you in varying guises and various conditions, under various names, in different times. These souls that are with you still on earth, these ties that bind and hold you together, you must remember have been forged over many centuries, and they have gone through many different stages of evolution, and sometimes in the body, you have been wife, you have been sister, you have even been husband, and indeed you have been child. You have gone through every phase and every emotion, through every condition of life that it is possible to conceive. And now that you are indeed on the threshold of a greater and fuller life in spirit, but all these varying consciousness will make themselves known and felt to you, where you will have a clarity of vision, and you will then begin to see again, surely, more clearly, how all these lives have been interwoven and twined, and how necessary they were. And from our side, when you come here, you will still continue, to some extent, to take an interest in those who are left behind. And you will see some of the fulfillments of the things that have been prophesied. And I want you to remember that there is no confusion on these issues. There are no confusions in regard to all these souls who have been so important as a part of your life. These are all essential experiences. And we must not confuse the varying bodies through varying times with the one spirit of the one soul or the one animating force called life that flows through all these varying times and individual bodies. Facially and indeed in regard to stature, in regard to position in life, in regard even to temperament and to nature, all these have been varied and different and been essential so that the spirit could be tested, so that the spirit could be experienced from every possible conceivable angle, from every possible conceivable realization that would be brought to bear upon it. The spirit can only find complete freedom when it has exhausted all the experience of life. Then it is free to enter into the fuller life of the truth and experience of spirit and discard from itself all the lesser, all the grosser, all the material aspects of nature itself. We must all go through these varying degrees and conditions. Otherwise we cannot be a complete person. We cannot be a whole person. We cannot be completely freed of material things. We must squeeze, as it were, all that we may from the earth in all its varying ways and conditions of life, so that we can say truly that we know, and through experience we have found, and having found we have been able to forge ahead to the heights, discarding as we go all the trappings and all the outward things of little consequence, and that we have become as light and as free and as easy that we can move without being hampered or hindered by any of the things that still hold some people's back. That is why it is so important that so often people must return to earth, that they must learn again, and they must experience again, and they must enter into bodies which, in a sense, are unfamiliar to them, but nevertheless which they must learn to control and learn to experience through. All these things you have done, and all those souls that are here who have been linked with you in past times, they have finished their tasks of earth. And only by this constant communication and linking with you are they able, for the time being at least, to keep in contact and to make themselves known and felt from time to time. But when your time comes, to be released from the body, when you are then enjoined with them, there will be no regrets, for you will be all happiness and all joy, having indeed made possible the renewal and the continuation of love with those who are here waiting for you. These things are vital and important and essential. These last few years that may yet be left to you are in a sense perhaps the most important, for they are, as it were, shall we say, the years of fulfillment. Your life, as we've often said, has been one of disappointment. In a material sense this is true, but what a glorious life of fulfillment it has been in a spiritual sense. You have been given a great knowledge and a great experience, and you have enabled others to find truth to some extent. Those who would accept have accepted and have been helped. And what is important is to realize that you have achieved much more than you could possibly know here, not on the earth so much, but here, on this side. You have brought into being for yourself a condition of life which for you will be indeed paradise, for it is often important and essential when one returns to earth, not only by experience in life upon earth, to develop oneself and to experience these things for the betterment of one's innermost soul, but it is also important to realize that it is the experiences of the earth life which to some extent unfold over here that which is to come, which in itself is so vital to your happiness and to your freedom. And this is perhaps something which few people realize, the importance of freedom in a spiritual sense. There are many here who are experienced, who are developed to a degree, and who are experienced to a degree, but they themselves are not free, for they are still, in some measure, held and in some measure chained to material things, and it is essentially necessary for them to reincarnate, to come back again, so that they may divest themselves of certain aspects of their nature which has not had its full development on earth and experience. In other words, they must learn how to throw off and how to accept the things that are important. It is difficult to put fully in words these things appertaining to what you term reincarnation, and how it affects some, and how it does not perhaps affect others. How some, it is important and essential that they return to earth again and again, for not only for their own fulfillment and development, but for the development and the fulfillment of others, others who are tied to them by chains of love, and how often those from this side who have found great happiness choose to return to earth, that they may help some soul near and dear to them from a past life and incarnation, to help that soul to learn and to experience and to gain in knowledge, so that when they come, they shall not have to return again. All these varying lives are essential until we have gained enough experience in all manner of ways so that we can truly say that we have gained all the essential knowledge and all the experience, all that is essential to our betterment and our welfare. When we can say that we have learnt all our lessons, then do we finish our earthly contacts through bodies as such. But you have long since gained your knowledge, gained your experience, but you are now working out not only your own salvation or your own destiny, but also that of others, binding through you by ties of love that are so strong that you could not resist to return, to help and to enable them to be helped.
Could you tell me who are the others?
These souls that are near bound to you, whose links go back in centuries of time, these souls who are serving and endeavouring to serve others, these souls who you have for so long been attached to, these that you know, these that you have been spoken to about, for these are strong ties, strong links, which time itself cannot break or sever, which always hold close to your heart. These brothers, these souls, which are so essentially part of you. Names in this incarnation are known to you.
May I know, Lucellus, about your reincarnations, and if we have met in other incarnations, will it be possible for you to tell me? Because I've taken a great interest in you.
Apart from the time in ancient Rome,
yes,
I was also linked with you in the time of which I spoke earlier in regard to the body, the family,
yes,
in regard to Alfredo and yourself.
Oh, yes.
And if I were to answer that,
yes,
I wonder how you would respond when I told you that I was your son.
Oh, the son who became Pope.
I was a Pope.
Oh,
and if I spoke to you as I did in such high praise of what must have seemed, as indeed it was, myself, I tried to do this realizing that in a sense I stand aloof, because I can do that. I can stand completely aloof and see myself and my past times and my past life, my past associations, without in any way feeling that I can take credit, because development through life, each one of us is progressing slowly, surely, towards the goal that has been set. When we can finish forever our links and ties with the earth, when the band or the group soul is complete, when all the brothers and the sisters, all those who love as one are bound in love, when all have finished their travels, all have achieved that which has been set for them to do, we come together again, and though we retain our individuality and retain to some extent that outer something which makes us individual, as one we beat in heart, we are but one truly in spirit and in truth. These things which so many of the great teachers throughout the ages have spoken, these truths which are eternal, all the great ones have expounded these things, but to many peoples of the earth who could not understand because they were not ready to digest and to learn, but all eventually must find this path, and this path that takes us through incarnation after incarnation, which is so essential, so that eventually we can be released from all earthly bands and ties, to find that perfect peace, and that perfect love, and that perfect way of life in the realms of spirit. These things we are doing, and you shortly will be so doing. And the others who are still serving and have a part and a work to play, the instrument that are yours is part of us. And other souls that you know of are linked with us in ties of love, and they have themselves much yet to learn, and it may well be that some may have to reincarnate again, and possibly even again after that, who can say? But there are those who are young souls, and there are those who are old souls. There are some who are serving, as it were, their last term in the school, and others who are but babies just beginning to toddle and to learn. And all these children, all these souls, all these who are part of us, we shall help, and we shall endeavor for, we shall guide, and we shall inspire. That is why we are so anxious that we might have the opportunity from time to time to talk on many things, particularly the full realization that must yet come to many of this truth of life eternal. For it is of life eternal which we speak. For life eternal, it has many facets, many phases, many experiences. For that is what eternity means, to go on continually forever. Blood in. These things which perhaps seem impossible to grasp in the human mind, yet even so, how wonderful it is to know that we can have all lives and be all lives, that we can have all experience and be all peoples, be one with all and understand all, and in consequence, through these things, we find our true selves, and we develop accordingly, till we become completely and absolutely one in spirit, in truth, in enlightenment. There is no death, there is no falling away. All is light, all is illumination, all is perfect. Perfection, according to each man's own experience, according to his evolution and his time. And then he sees and aspires further and reaches out for the next aspect of perfection. And so goes on and on, eternal illumination and experience. You are a very old soul, and so are others around and about you. And those of us who have finished our earthly tasks through earthly bodies, who now return, like I return occasionally to speak unto you, endeavoring through you to assist others, to bring them some illumination, they might also find the true power, the true meaning and experience of life. We are so linked together. The links are so strong. We have been all to each other. We have been all that life could offer. And we have become in consequence fully conscious souls on a spiritual level, far removed from earthly things. And if I talk on earthly things and past experience, it is because I realize that it may be of assistance and guidance and help to others. Knowing that you yourself are eager for knowledge, that you might pass it on and help others in consequence. And I told you that we hope to achieve through this instrument, before you finish your earthly span, we hope to achieve some remarkable things. I know that you have had prophecies made to you, some of which have been fulfilled and others which have not. But I say to you that we shall see together a revelation and an experience far removed from what the instrument has been doing in the past. It will be new inasmuch that it will carry a weight and a conviction and a strength that will surprise multitudes. There is within him yet great power. There is within him yet great instrumentality of love and service. And I believe that we shall accomplish these things. Very shortly you will begin to see even more clearly than you do now the changes that have been wrought. It is a matter of patience, but we shall not fail in this, because it is that which we have been working for so long. Cry, my child, to understand some of the things that I have said.
Yes.
I do not expect you to fully comprehend all, and indeed it would be strange if you should, because I feel that in trying to find words, I must lose much that I wish to convey. But I will master this, and I will give you more knowledge and more detailed knowledge, which will be more understandable to you, and will clarify many points and many of the things which cause you may have some concern and which cause you even at times to be apprehensive. These things, all these knots, shall be untied for you.
Thank you, Lucella.
I must go, child.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Ricky.
I can see you're going to learn a lot. I'm in the picture. I'm very much in the picture, I am, I'll tell you straight.
Oh, I wish you'd tell us about you, Ricky.
Ah, I was Peter's son once.
What?
What?
I thought I was your son once, that's why I meet with you, say.
Oh, I see.
Not yours, Vince.
No, I know. Vince's son.
Yeah, I would call him Pop, wouldn't I?
Oh, do call him Pop.
No, not now, bye-bye.
Oh.
So confusing, Mickey. Well, confusing is getting rather complex. What incarnation was Mickey my son?